Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, I wonder what you are left with after that interview and then that beautiful piece of music. I think when I pause and I reflect, I am left with three major things that jump out at me from our conversation. The first is really just a bunch of techniques or top tips for managing ourselves in times of stress and trauma. I wonder if you heard Alia's recipe for maintaining her resilience and keeping herself in an okay way. First of all, did you notice what she did with rage? She didn't deny it. She didn't dump it. She knew the difference between just reacting and being enraged, in rage, out of control, as it were. Because to some extent, we must suppress. I mean, listen, if we all just felt that every time we felt a threat and lashed out, then society would be very unsafe. But what she was talking about was the ability to not react. There was something in what she says about staying grounded, keeping your bums on the seats throughout the whole performance, whatever's going on in front of us, staying very steady, hearing people out. That non-reactiveness is a gift to so many people. If we could just hear those of when we meet someone who's reacting and is in a reactive place where they're just splurging out their emotions, having someone just be with them, non-reactive, and just accepting and hearing them. That is, you know, in some ways, that's the ultimate definition of all my work, which is the therapeutic work. The body work is in many ways an acknowledgement of a person. So when I'm working with my clients, it's about hearing and it's also about acknowledgement. And sometimes that acknowledgement has to go into the nervous system, not just into the mind or the brain, as it were. So in my very typically long-winded way to summarize some good points, where I'm going is I'm saying, didn't she do well with rage? Not only did she demonstrate that she didn't have to react with it every time, but she also demonstrated how she uses music to really just let go and to let the rage out, you know. And it's interesting that cars are becoming one of the most therapeutic tools available, because you can let rip in a car. You put on some heavy music, you can drive, you can scream in rage at the top of your voice. I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying cars are a very interesting place for allowing our emotions to come out. But we must always retain enough ability to stay in the here and now and drive safely, which actually is a very interesting thing, because if we feel emotions and we're driving the car and we stay on the road and we can see what we're doing and drive carefully and well, then of course what we're doing is we are literally processing the rages of the past. And because there's a part of us in the present, it's a very good thing. When I work with people, in order to process these feelings, I want to know that they can still be with me and know that I'm there and to some extent be able to think. In fact, releasing suppressed emotion often frees up the mind to think clearly. So anyway, that was the first thing. It was the really healthy way in which, how do we deal with the negative reactions? And if I had 35 hours and a whole workshop, we could do that, couldn't we? I could take you through each of these emotions and create safe environments for us not only to release and do the opposite of suppression, which is, of course, releasing, but also to experience the reflective time that follows such releases to understand the meaning and the significance. You know, one without the other is not any good. It's no good just discharging a bunch of negative emotions and not understanding what was held in those emotions. It's always a learning. There are a couple of other top tips that Alia shared. I love that she made a point of always going out and staring at the stars. And for her, that was a kind of perspective, to get back into perspective. You know, whatever we get caught up in, there's a big world out there. And it's really lovely sometimes to just go, oh, you know, there's more going on around the world than it makes. Yes, we have to take our concerns seriously, but sometimes we need a bit of relief from it and go, oh, thank goodness, it's not all up to me. See the beauty of the stars, the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the wind, the rain, whatever it is. It's like, oh, we are held in a much bigger embrace in life than just what we manage in our own lives. And however you see that, that's a profoundly spiritual perspective, or whatever your language is for that. It's like we can, as it were, almost fall back and be held by nature, be held by the beauty of the stars. But somehow it's a relief for us not to be the most important person in the whole universe. You know, there's an awful lot of the self in everyday life. And I think sometimes what we need to be is just a part of, you know, not the most important bit, but just one part of. And I'm sure many listeners will be, you know, nodding heads and resonating with this idea. And it's a profoundly spiritual concept. Let's be honest about that. The other thing in terms of top tips is laugh. I'm often laughing, even in these reflections. I think laughter's really wonderful. And I find it very hard to keep a straight face for most of Alia's interview. And she laughs a lot. I reckon if we put a laughometer onto our conversations, it would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it, to see what percentage of your interaction with life involves either smiling or laughing, because these are really important things to do, you know. And actually, we know that when you smile, when the cheeks are contracted and, you know, really and interesting, it's very close to a grimace. If you relax your face completely so that the cheeks drop and the jaw's a bit heavy and, you know, you can feel the facial muscles kind of getting heavy. And then you do a really big smile from ear to ear and you hold it for a little while. It can start to look like a grimace. But we do know that when those cheek muscles are activated like this, then a whole bunch of endorphins are released into the bloodstream. This is our own painkiller.
We're coming up with quite a list here, aren't we? Get perspective by looking at the stars. We're, you know, laughing and smiling to release the endorphins, allowing the emotions to flow in your body in the right places and the right times. Those are three great tips. But there was more from earlier. I mean, there was so much more. You probably heard her talk about bare feet. And I have to say, New Zealand is the country in the world for bare feet. I mean, it's just so wonderful. I watched my grandson coming out of school, and sometimes he and his mates, the middle of winter, they're coming out in their bare feet. The teachers would die in the UK. Literally, they'd drop down dead if they saw something like that in the UK. I've got a long story about that, but I'll share it another time. But we've got a few more things that Alia has spoken of. For example, good company. She said spending time in good company. And I think the other thing that she mentioned was the role that creativity has played. You know, hippies get a very bad press, don't they? But actually, hippies were great. They allowed us to be free and to let the children play and explore. And they had a great love of crafts. And crafts can be very much underrated. But as I've got older, I have seen the enormous benefit of crafts. And particularly, it seems to me that crafts, not exclusively, but very generally, seem to do something really wonderful for women. And if you're a crafty type person and you'd like to come on to this show and talk about that, I'd love to talk to you about that because I am Mr. Craft ignorant, I'm afraid. But I see its benefits in many, many people. And Alia did refer to the role of craft as both growing up and also as a way of soothing her nervous system when she's stressed and traumatized. So those are five pretty good top tips. I hope you got your notepad and wrote them down. If you haven't, I'll go through them one last time. So what did we see? Well, let's just go through walking barefoot. I think probably most Kiwis know about that one. Looking at the stars and kind of gaining a perspective, kind of just putting our own concerns into the bigger picture of the universe. Laughing and smiling, keeping good company, and do creativity. And of course, let your emotions flow wherever you can. I don't know if that's five or six things. So there's your top tips that I have gleaned around stress and trauma. But there's another one here that I think is equally important. It's not so much a tip or a technique, but it is an approach. And it is this idea of getting support. I've noticed since I've come back to New Zealand over these last few years that certainly down here in the South Island, there's a sort of refusal to allow support. Refusal isn't the word. It's more that it's almost countercultural to reach out for support. And I wonder if you heard Alia mention that she had a mentor, a meditational, I don't know, or spiritual. I didn't go into it. That seemed her business. But she was clearly influenced by someone who taught her. And I remember that she said, this person taught me to keep our bums on the seats throughout the performance, which was a really lovely phrase. I like that. You know, when life's going bad, just think of it as a really tense part of a theatre show and you should just grit your teeth and bear it. And just, it's a kind of stoicism, actually. But the idea that we have to react or collapse or, you know, be offended by what's going on in front of us is an odd one, because actually what works in life is that sort of stability. And I think that the idea of support is really important. I learned a lot about the value of support when I was reworking a way of doing massage without using my hands. And that's a little bit in my history and in my book, Touching Trauma, Building Resilience. In the process of being injured with my hands, I found new ways of working. And in that process, I worked with forearms, but not like you'd expect. It's hard to talk about it. You have to sort of see it, really. But it was very gentle work. There was no bones. There was no elbows and stuff like that. I don't know why anyone would stick their elbows in another human being unless they wanted to hurt them. But that's just my own view. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of body workers very upset right now. But we had to bend over more because we were closer in, we had to lean over. So suddenly, me and the students that were using this different approach that I developed, we all got backache. So we had to really learn to get support. And support became not only something we use in our bodywork practice, but actually, as we learned to do it in our work, we all started noticing that we were allowing more support in our lives. And having a mentor or a guide is actually a really smart thing to do. And it's embedded in all cultures. It's embedded in the history of the human race. The idea that young people know diddly squat is just insane. And so attaching yourself to a teacher or someone who will guide you, who's safe, you know, in my profession, for example, it's done through trainers and it's done through supervisors. And I would be probably a little bit wary of just following anyone. I'd want to know who was guiding them, I think is a very valid question. But the idea of getting support, and it's not just about support, it's about someone who's going to hang in there with you and hold you accountable to what you have said you will do. So I think that's a really big thing. And when you think how much
Alia and Claire and Libby have achieved in just a few years, the immense amount of stress and trauma they must have been under. I can only think that having that kind of guidance was very, very important. And finally, I want to talk about one phrase that she said, which was really to allow yourself to understand what you can influence and what you can't. Now, you may have heard of this, but there's a beautiful wisdom trope prayer. It was originally developed by Reinhold Niebuhr. It's called the Serenity Prayer. It's a wisdom prayer. It was written by a fairly radical theological priest, and he was very involved in social equality and in politics. He was quite a famous man in his time. He was born in 1892, but he lived until 1971. And he was a very influential priest in America. In the 1930s, or perhaps the early 40s, he came up with a prayer that is now used, for example, by Alcoholics Anonymous in some variation or form. But it's beautiful. And I wanted to give the full quote. Alia partially quoted it, but I wanted to give the full quote to you because I think it's a wonderful prayer. Oh God, give us the serenity to accept what cannot be changed, the courage to change what can be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is the kind of mantra of Alcoholics Anonymous all around the world now. And it has helped probably millions of people. So those are my reflections from that wonderful session with Alia Bland. Lots of techniques. The idea of support and mentoring, being mentored or guided by someone. And the beautiful worldwide serenity prayer used by AA all around the world that has practically helped millions of people to change their lives. So let's get Alia back and have her talk about her music. But before we do that, I just want to say, what do you think? What do you find useful? What particularly helps you get through stress and trauma? Let me know. Let me know if what I've shared with you today has been useful, new, or reinforced something you already knew and that you value that reinforcement. Let me know how you're getting on with this show. 2057 is the text, and inbox@realitycheck.radio is for the emails. And I do read everything, even if I don't get around to reading it all out.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.